Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Great to have you with us on this November weekend as we're looking down the barrel at a deer. Well, maybe. It is hunting season, both in Minnesota and in Wisconsin. It's just getting kicked off as well. So we might be looking down a barrel at a deer, but we're also looking down the barrel at Thanksgiving. And I'm just wondering about our Rediscover Hour listening audience, if Thanksgiving is a time for you that you kind of dread, or if you actually are looking forward to it, or if it's somewhere in between. You know, it can be this, just this, it's an eclectic mix, isn't it? It's a mix of, at least in my life, it's a mix of both being together with family and friends, having some relaxed time to catch up with others, to reestablish some relationships, to converse, to see what's going on in the lives of loved ones, to, of course, eat some good food. Hello, that's Thanksgiving is filled with that from, it actually starts as we're preparing the food the night before, the day before, the week before, all the way through, and then you're grazing on turkey for about the next 2-3 weeks, right? So that's a good thing like that. And so it's a slower pace oftentimes. But then there's this kind of, it's the kickoff to the holiday season, and a lot of people are out there. Of course, we all know about Black Friday, and that a lot of people, you know, some people I know, they like to engage in that. I am kind of I'm an anti-Black Friday guy. In fact, we usually spend Thanksgiving at my wife's parents, and close by is a little Amish shop that offers discount foods. No electricity in the shop, you know, it's just discount foods. That's the Black Friday, where I go Black Friday shopping, is at this little Amish shop to get some discount foods. But for those who like to engage in it, please do so respectfully and still with a heart overflowing with thanksgiving for all the goodness that our Heavenly Father pours out upon us. But I'm hoping that wherever you are, whatever Thanksgiving offers you, whether you're kind of a little intimidated by the whole prospect of seeing family members again that you might not get along with so well, or reaching out, touching base with people that it's been so long, you're maybe a little bit embarrassed about how long it's been, but here we are again in the midst of, or in the beginning of the holiday season, or if it's something you're really looking forward to, a little time off, little relaxation, wherever you are, please do it all with that heart full of gratitude. I know I've talked about this already, but may your hearts well up with gratitude to the good Lord for all the things that He pours out upon us, because this is the time of year when, every time of year is a time of year to offer thanks to the Lord. But our culture, our society still has set apart this time of year, at least in some ways, for giving thanks. And I think that is something that we need to continue to do. And if it's been a while, since you've given sincere thanks to the Lord, make this a new start. Make this a fresh start. There's no day like today. Now is the time of salvation. So take it upon yourself to be grateful, and maybe that means factoring in to your Thanksgiving plan something that includes a special time of thanksgiving to the Lord, whether that's prayer around the table. Perhaps it's making a Thanksgiving Mass part of your celebration. Maybe it's a special rosary, something like that. But take some time and give it over to the Lord. So with that, we've got a lot of things to be thankful for here on the Rediscover Hour as well. I work with some great people here. I'm thankful for them. I'm also thankful for the number of great guests that we have on who always share with us. That's the whole point of this show, is to share with us what God's doing in our midst. And I think that I know that it is, without question, that God is actively, constantly at work in our midst, sharing His great love in many, many ways. And today's show is going to be, more of the same, just seeing God at work in and around us. So a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Kristen Meyer and Aaron Herman, who are involved with Thanksgiving Tip-Off. I don't usually think of Thanksgiving as a basketball time. Usually it's the football games are on in my household on Thanksgiving afternoon. But there's basketball going on, women's basketball, high school women's basketball, and we're going to be talking to them about what Thanksgiving tip-off is all about. Also joining us a little bit later, Steve Lentz and Sheila Haldmeier will be talking about this newly launched Missionary Discipleship Series by the Office of Evangelization. They've been taking part in that. It's into the series. It's, of course, not over yet. But they're going to be talking about a little bit of their experience with attending the mission and participating in the Missionary Discipleship Series. And then just after our first break here, Chris McAllister and Father Patrick Barnes from St. Nicholas and Elko Newmarket are here to talk about Catholic Watchmen and what's going on there out in the western part of the cities, and specifically an event that's coming up on November 29th. So we're going to be talking with them about that. It's an exciting, faith-filled show, as always, but we also want to give pause and to give thanks, right, as we do every Rediscover Hour. So let's dedicate the show with our thanksgiving to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the wonderful things that you have poured out upon us. Please help us to return thanks to you for all that you have given. Blessed Mother, hear our prayers and intercede for us as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going into our first break, but when we come back, Father Patrick Barnes and Chris McAllister from St. Nicholas and Elko Newmarket to talk about Catholic Watchmen. Stay with us.
Hi, Tara from Catholic United Financial talking Medicare. Did you know that when you turn 65, you can enroll in Medicare to cover ongoing healthcare expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost? The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. I lead a team that can help you with Medicare Supplement Health Insurance, as well as Part D dental and vision coverage. Call me for a quick comparison quote at 651-765-6555. You can see how much you can save. Catholic United has competitive pricing, easy enrollment, and hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call me, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
My hope on your return, now all that sorrow so soon will burn. So tend my heart with tender hands and see your sunshine is pouring in.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Man, I like the bump music that our technical producer Paul Sadek gets for us. That's wonderful stuff. Thanks, Paul. All right, so we are up now with Catholic Watchmen, and specifically what's going on out in Elko Newmarket. Yeah, is it way out there? Well, I tell you what, it's going to be worth the drive for the things that are coming up that way. We have Chris McAllister in studio with us, as well as Father Patrick Barnes, who is the pastor of St. Nicholas in Elko Newmarket and the canonical administrator of Holy Cross School. Chris McAllister is the men's group ministry leader and the CW point man, CW being, of course, Catholic Watchman. That's what's going on out there in St. Nicholas and Elko Newmarket. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's kick right into it here. Men's evangelization, what does it actually mean there? Father, what does it mean for you? What does it mean for the parish out in Elko Newmarket?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. You know, it's really a key thing for us. Even when I was in seminary, I was inspired to really want to work with men and bring the gospel to them, to help root them in the gospel, and also to help them be the spiritual fathers that God has made them to be. So it's been something I've wanted to do for a long time and have been very blessed to do it. And so In the parish, we have the Knights of Columbus and we have the Catholic Watchmen, and these are wonderful, wonderful platforms to work with men and do this, forming them, especially as spiritual fathers of their families.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Chris, what about you? I mean, you've been the point man here for a while. What does it mean to you? What is men's evangelization? Why is it important?
Sure. Well, I think it goes back to the very gospel, right, of Christ giving his apostles and thus his church, us, the charge of going to all nations and preaching the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And we're called to do that, of course, right here in our homes, the domestic church, as well as is our parish at St. Nicholas in our community. So the platform of Catholic Watchmen has been kind of an answer to my prayers in many ways of how can I serve Christ's church in a way that, as a father myself of four children, that I can really give back to you know, our parish and in my family as well. So just it facilitating an encounter with, you know, with the men, with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the best we can, mm-hmm. Is really a way to help that evangelization and get them to a point of discipleship.
And have you had many men participating in Catholic Watchmen events out there?
Yeah, it's been, for our small parish, what do we have family-wise, Father, give or take?
We're about 430 families.
Okay.
And so for our small parish, we're about 20 to 30 men per month.
Wow.
That show up, which we're very pleased with. And, you know, we realize, like any initiative, and for this thing, you know, the Watchmen, a movement, these things don't happen overnight. And so just continuing to pray and to engage men, keep inviting them, has been a very large part of the initiative.
Right. Father, what's it been like for you, being especially in the role of pastor out there, as you've seen these men turn up for these Catholic Watchmen events and everything? I'm assuming it helps you. It supports your own faith journey, and as you see these men turning out for these faith events.
Absolutely, it's been awesome, and it's been so great working with Chris. You know, we meet, talk things through, try and develop the plan. And really, I've been able to just be there as a support, mm-hmm. hopefully as a spiritual father myself, mm-hmm. to them. And to see them growing, to see them coming together has been a great blessing for me. And it's really neat to see how the laity and the priest can work together, bring our own gifts, our different ways of doing things, our different gifts God has given us and our vocations to support it. So it's been a great blessing for me as a priest, growing in my own priesthood and seeing these men grow and be together, mm-hmm. in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So this is a question that I'll ask the both of you, but Chris, I think we'll start with you. So what would you say typifies or sets men's ministry particularly apart? Is it the issues that men are facing? Is it just how God has made us as men, as fathers? What makes men's ministry so important, in maybe contradistinction to other forms of ministry?
Absolutely, and that's a great question. So I have a science degree. I have a physics degree, so I come from a very data-driven mindset. And the statistics don't lie. So sometimes I look at that about how influential and how God did truly make us, that when we connect is the influential part of a father, whether you're a spiritual father or a physical father. We're all called, as Father said, to be spiritual fathers in some way. And so that's where I look at it is I think the statistic was something about when a wife converts to Christianity, maybe 20% of the family, 20% of the time would convert, versus a father leading the family into the faith. It's about 90-95%. Oh. And it's not to differentiate. We all have our gifts in the way God gave us in a complementary, but truly men have a special role, mm-hmm. in evangelization and leading their families, their parishes, and communities closer to Christ and his church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Father, same question to you. What makes men's ministry unique?
Yeah, it is unique in the sense that, you know, men and women have been created differently. And so in the church, oftentimes when there's volunteer opportunities, it seems like women are ready to step in. And that's such a great blessing with their gifts. And it seems like sometimes it's a little more difficult to get the men together. To get the men to step forward for things. They certainly do, but to get men together talking with each other, talking about our faith, praying together, I don't think that's quite as common in the life of the church, and it's not necessarily as easy to do. And so when we can have this forum to give the men that space, hopefully a safe space to do this, to be together, I do think that that's a unique thing in the church, and such an important thing for us to keep moving forward and as a parish, as a diocese, as a church.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And I think specifically there's so many things that I think our culture and our society has put on men that, you know, men don't do these types of things, right? But that's never been our Heavenly Father's intention. I mean, and that he has given us this ability to come into relationship with Him, and we don't have to stop being men in order to talk about it, in order to live out a life of faith. And it sounds to me like there's been some fruit of that in what you've already seen at St. Nicholas.
Absolutely. I believe the Watchman Initiative or movement started about 2 years ago with Jeff Cavins and Bishop Cousins backing that, and now Archbishop as well. It's been very powerful. The fruits in our own parishes, the fruits in my own life as just a dad of four children and my wife, it's been amazing. There's the old adage that you can't give what you don't have, right? So first we need to have an encounter with Christ ourselves, so that he can fill us, we can overpour that to others. And that's just really been a blessing for me to share that with other men. And the fruit of, you know, part of the Watchmen, the rally that we're coming up on Thursday, November 29th, we always include confession and adoration. So that time for prayer, to get in a connection back with God. Without prayer, we don't have a relationship. To be blunt, right?
Yeah.
And next, confession, just a very underused sacrament of the church that's so beautiful, the mercy that that Christ offers through that sacrament. So I've seen men 30, 40 years have not been back to confession, and they've, through this Watchman movement, they have been. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example. But any movement towards God is a journey, and as long as it's a movement towards Him, it's I've seen a lot of those fruits too. Mm-hmm. You don't always have the overnight conversions that right. we expect, but so that's the other thing too, is this holiness doesn't happen overnight, and with God's grace, we just take one step at a time. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Father, just a question for you, and I'm not putting you on the spot to break the seal of the confessional, but I'm just curious, from a priest's perspective, when you have a man come into confession and he says, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned, it's been 30 years since my last confession," what goes through your heart?
Well, you know, it's just beautiful to know that God is working.
Yeah.
And just even in general parish life, you know, to see people coming closer to God and to know that God is still working and people are still responding to his call. God is the first mover. He comes to invite us. And to just see people coming closer to God is a great blessing. He's made us, as Chris was talking about, you know, He's made us for relationship. He's made us for a relationship with Himself. He's made us for a relationship with each other. And so anything that we can do that's going to draw men into a deeper relationship with God, with their wives, with their children, that's going to bear fruit. And then, you know, one of the things that Chris and I were talking about is, you know, we want to provide an opportunity for men to meet in small groups, an opportunity for them to go even deeper in this movement, which hopefully will draw them deeper into the sacraments, into confession, into the Eucharist, as they talk with each other and learn more about each other and themselves. Hopefully, you know, the Watchman can be, again, that forum where they can draw closer into these sacraments and that encounter with Christ where He reveals Himself to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Chris, you made mention of this before, but let's put it front and center now. So there is an upcoming Catholic Watchman rally out there at St. Nicholas in Elko Newmarket, and it's going to be November 29th, which is a Thursday. It's going to be 6:30 to 9 p.m., as I said, there at St. Nicholas, and Archbishop Hebda is going to be there speaking just kind of a an open night with the men. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's more details about what's going to happen at this specific event.
Sure, sure. So every Catholic Watchman evening, whether it's within the individual parish or these rallies that are held on a quarterly basis, starts with adoration, an opportunity for confession. And I think this time around, we're a little fervorino. I just learned what that word means, by the way. That's pretty great.
But, it is.
You learn something new every day. So that goes on for approximately an hour. And, of course, there's some free dinner and a time for fellowship with the men, maybe a beer to offer there. Okay. But also, kind of the highlight of the night is having the leader of our local archdiocese here, Archbishop Hebda, present. I think it's just really powerful. And one of the successes of Watchmen is that alignment and that support that not only I get from Father Barnes on a daily basis to drive this in our parish, but to unite the men of the archdiocese mm-hmm. and how important that is to meet other men of faith. I mean, it was so powerful about a year or two ago when we had the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, and you have 1,500 men doing a Eucharistic procession down,
wow.
I forget the road, and right by St. Summit. Thomas there.
Yeah, Summit Avenue. Yeah.
Summit Avenue, and we're sitting on the median, 1,500 men on their knees in muddy, grass, worshiping Jesus Christ in that beautiful gift. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And that uniting that at a bigger level, and we need that this day and age with all the divisiveness and, like you said, our culture. There's just so many attacks and whether it's from a political realm or personal, whatever it might be, we need more unity like that. And this really does do that with men. And it reminds me of the quote here, the Proverbs of iron sharpens iron mm-hmm. and one man sharpens another. And really that, again, that charge from Bishop Olmsted, who kind of started this Into the Breach initiative down in, I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona, to draw men together and to begin to rebuild a vibrant and transforming Catholic fraternity.
Mm.
And that's kind of what we're hoping to do, and we've seen a lot of the fruits of that.
Now, this rally on the 29th is not just for parishioners of St. Nicholas, obviously. It's a Catholic Watchman rally. All men from around the Archdiocese and even beyond are invited. Father, it's a little bit of a trek out there. Is it going to be worth it?
Absolutely.
That's a softball question right there.
That is. Our camp, even just to see the campus of St. Nicholas, is gorgeous. Mm. And the event itself, we're so excited to have the Archbishop come and men from our parish, getting ready for this, preparing, and hopefully many men, from the area and from the whole Archdiocese can join us and can grow in their faith. And, maybe a parish out there, maybe a man out there who has it on his heart to get a Watchman group going in his parish, maybe he would attend this event and be inspired to start one up, and I think the Lord can do that. And it's if somebody out there is listening, it's worth it. And if it's on someone's heart, the Lord might just be calling to do it. So I would encourage men out there, even if you're somewhat interested in this, come see it, and then maybe it'll get going in your parish.
What a tremendous encouragement right there. So once more, it's the Catholic Watchman Rally, Thursday, November 29th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Nicholas in Elko Newmarket. Eucharist adoration, confessions, dinner, and Archbishop Hebda. Free will offering of $10 is suggested, not required. Register online and find out more information by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Before we let you go, Father, may I ask you to give a quick on-air blessing for our listeners?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to, Patrick. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessings on all of our listeners, on all of our parishioners, and especially all of our men. So may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Father Patrick Barnes, Chris McAllister, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you,
Patrick.
All right. We're going to go into another break. When we come back, we've got two participants from the Missionary Discipleship Series who are going to be talking about the impact that's made. Stay with us.
Discover. How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
I will never forget you. For your name I have carved on the palm of my hand.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM Golden Valley Studios, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, we have two participants from the Missionary Discipleship Series. Did you catch that when it went around? Well, if you didn't, don't worry, it will come around again. Please God, that is what's going on. But it's a wonderful initiative set up through the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese, and particularly to help people grow in their faith, grow in their relationship with God, and to help others to do the same. And joining me now, as I said, two participants in the studio of the Missionary Discipleship Program. First of all, Steve Lentz, who is a parishioner at St. Hubert's, has been so for 25 years, married to his wife Michelle for 26 years, and have four young adult children. Now, not to be confused, Sheila Halbmeyer is also with us. She is the mom of four kids. She and her husband have been married for 26 years and have four children. And they both, yes, get it, both just sent their youngest off to college this year. So it's like you're living twin lives. Anyway, welcome to the Rediscover Hours, Steve and Sheila.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this Missionary Discipleship Series that's going on. You're both attending there at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. Steve, let's start with you. So how did you first hear about the Missionary Discipleship Series?
You know, because St. Hubert's was hosting, we had posted a lot of flyers, we had a lot of pulpit announcements, and a whole lot of runway time before the series was actually starting. So it was kind of hard to miss the opportunity. And I was also following sort of the arch, because we're part of a pilot program for the Archdiocese with the two parishes that are hosting this fall and into next year. And I'm always interested in going deeper in my faith, always interested in learning new things. You know, even in my sort of early 50s, I know there's still still a lot to learn out there. So it struck me as just a really interesting opportunity.
Okay, very good. Sheila, how about you?
So I had gotten an email from our faith formation director at St. John's, and she had sent an email out to a few of us. And she just described the program, and I read it and thought, oh, that sounds interesting, and kind of thought about it for a while and signed up.
Yeah, very good. And both being empty nesters now, you did you have more time on your hands, or did you kind of kiss goodbye to that long ago?
Yeah, you would think there'd be more time. Somehow that time just
doesn't happen.
It fills up. Yeah.
I will say though, what they've done to make it easier for everybody with busy schedules is we have these sort of three modules, right? And we just finished the first module here in October, with four consecutive Tuesday night meetings, lasted about an hour and a half. And they were very respectful of everybody's time, and they acknowledge everyone's busy. And then we'll have the remaining two modules will be in the spring of 2019.
Right.
So it wasn't like, because it's a 12-week program, but it's not a 12-week continuous commitment.
Right.
So it made it a lot easier to attend.
Right. So in case anybody is not familiar, so this is a general, as you just said, Steve, it's a 12-week program divided up into three different modules. So a 4-week program, some time off, a 4-week program, some time off, and a 4-week program. And there are some things to be done in between, some various activities as well as reading and that sort of thing that need to be done in between. It was set up, I know, to draw people into closer relationship with Christ and to help others to do the same. Sheila, is that, attending this first module anyway, would you say that you're off to a good start?
Yes, very much so.
So what did you do? I mean, what happened?
Well, I would say it's just praying with more intention, just more intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mornings, maybe my prayer hour looked like I had a certain number of prayers that I really wanted to get completed. And I would say now it's not so much about the quantity, like the number of prayers, but the quality. So maybe the example given in our class was you could say the St. Francis prayer, and that might be the only prayer you say during your entire prayer time, because you're waiting for the movement in your heart from the Lord. And maybe you just get to where there is injury, pardon, Lord, or where there's sadness, joy. And maybe the Lord is moving in your heart there, and you're thinking, okay, Lord, who is going through a difficult time right now? Who is in need of my prayers? Where do I need to be your hands and feet? Something like that. And that can be the whole. So I'd say that's the biggest change in my prayer life, is that it's more focused.
It sounds like it has less of a chance of falling into just kind of rote recitation, and more of a chance of being an actual conversation with the Lord.
Yes, exactly.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, what about you?
Well, remarkably similar experience at a certain level. But what I'll start with, you know, this first session was on prayer. Because, you know, again, as Catholics, we're not necessarily been taught how to pray all that well.
Okay.
You know, particularly, you know, those of us who are sort of, you know, sacramentalized but not catechized through the 70s, maybe in the 80s. And Father Mike Schmitz has a great line, right? You know, the Catholics are taught, you know, not to pray but how to memorize. And, you know, really the point of this first session, I think, was, you know, both for those who are kind of early on their journey in terms of their prayer life, and those, you know, more advanced as well, to, you know, identify different ways of praying, you know, and why do we pray? I mean, the very first session was on the kerygma and, you know, recognizing, you know, God's, you know, love for us and how that plays out. And frankly, you know, for me, I've always thought that once we realize how much God loves us individually, how can we not pray, you know, at the end of the day? And, but just, you know, similar to Sheila started, we hadn't talked about this, you know, I sort of have my prayer routine in the morning as well, where it's like boom, 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 boom. You know, it becomes almost task-oriented.
Yeah, yeah.
And Father Hoffman was terrific about cut yourself some slack. You've got to go deeper. I mean, this, you know, you're supposed to turn this sort of monologue into a dialogue. And there were a lot of very, I think we agreed, there were a lot of very simple but profound lessons that came through these first four sessions for, again, I think for everybody, no matter where you are in your prayer journey.
So what are the types of things that you're meant to be doing here in between modules, Steve?
So the Archdiocese is supporting us between modules by, there's a whole portion of this program they call accompaniment. And so they send out weekly, you know, suggested readings or videos, or, and they did that all during the program as well too, because they just have some terrific resources they have identified. And, you know, there was a, you know, one of the types of prayer we had discussed, for example, during the session was, you know, Lectio Divina, which, you know, is a fantastic way of going deeper in your prayer life. And they sent out a terrific, you know, video, a 1 hour video on Lectio Divina.
Wow.
Which some of the other videos, you know, were more standard, sort of the 3 to 5 minute Bishop Barron clips or, you know, some of these other things, but the accompaniment sort of keeps you focusing on, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. And frankly, I still have recourse from time to time to my notes from the program, because it has changed, like Sheila said, it's changed my daily prayer approach. And again, some really simple stuff, like, you know, we're taught the R, you know, the pirates, you know, the A-R-R-R, right? You know, acknowledge, receive, respond. And the acknowledge part, you know, again, where I have this task-based prayer approach, but Father Hoffman was like, wait, slow down, put yourself in the moment, you know, do something, you know, whether it's an Abba Father, or, you know, some other prayer to get you, you know, out of that task-based thing and into the more intentional, you know, dialogue, where, I mean, that has had, again, simple but profound effect on my daily prayer.
Yeah. The mental image that keeps coming to mind as you talk about task-based prayer, which I completely get, I understand that, is like you're not having an intimate conversation, like an intimate dinner with somebody that you care deeply about and that cares deeply about you. You're having a business meeting, basically, with the Lord, and usually you're the one who's running the meeting, right?
Right.
So, all right, Lord, yeah. We have this, and this. Okay, we're done. You know, that's it. Now I got to get on with my day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila, what about you? What's been going on kind of in between modules here for you?
Yeah, I would say, similar to Steve, one thing that I'm noticing, too, is that I can Like the way I used to go about my day would be just impulsively responding to the things that come to us every day. And I could be missing God's will for my day because I'm just, you know, kind of automatic pilot going through my day, doing my thing. I'm trying to be more, again, intentional, listening for Him and what is His will. So less of me and trying to be more of Him. And it just takes practice, I guess. And
well, yeah.
It's a different way of looking at things.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. What's coming up in the winter session, Sheila? Do you recall what's coming up that way?
Steve, I'm not sure. Did they actually tell us? Or
They have told us, okay, and I will be embarrassed to also admit I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I know the third session is more of an equipping session, you know, helping us to evangelize. One of the exercises that they had us do in the first session was write down answers to a series of three or four questions, right? And it was like, how would you describe your current relationship with God? You know, how do you describe your current, you know, prayer process? And I am convinced that the point of that is at the end of the third session, we'll be able to look back and, you know, sort of consciously note our progress. Because a lot of this, as the you know, sort of title is, you know, missionary discipleship, which Sheila and I were both discussing, for us initially, right, the missionary part of it was a little bit off-putting because it's like, well, wait a second, you know, we're not really equipped to go out there and be street evangelists or, you know, and or we don't want to, you know, we're not going to go to another country and evangelize. What's this missionary thing all about? But it is just being able to witness in our own lives and our families and our communities. And there's the old saying, I think it was Pope Paul VI, that, you know, we don't need more teachers, we need more witnesses, right? And I've seen that, you know, in the various, you know, men's groups and other initiatives that I'm in, that just sharing, you know, your faith journey and sharing where you are and sort of having your story is incredibly powerful because we're all just a collection of our stories at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think the goal of the program is to get us to be able to be comfortable, you know, to have a story and then to be able to share it.
Right.
So
I think that's right. I think it's right on. I well said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, what you've had? Well, Steve mentioned Father Hoffman as one of the speakers. Sounds like you've had some pretty top caliber speakers. Is that right?
Yes. Father Hoffman was there for three of the sessions, and then we had Father
Tollefson.
Tollefson from
St. Hubert's. Yeah.
And all those two men have been excellent. Yeah,
right.
Very good priests and speakers. Yeah.
And I happen to know that for the winter session, you're going to have some of the Catholic studies folks who are going to be leading you through that. And then you've got more people. You may even have to put up with one evening with me come the spring session, too. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm grateful for hearing how the Lord is using this series. I think the intention, in fact, I know the intention is to replicate this and to improve upon it each and every year. So I'm just going to ask you just in closing to share a little bit about if somebody is hearing about this and they're thinking, yeah, that might be something, how would you encourage them to continue to seek it out and be open to the Lord's will? Steve, let's start with you.
Well, it's a focus on that word you used at the end, being open, you know, and recognizing that, you know, none of us are where we should be. We're all on this journey. You know, Father Hoffman in our last session, you know, very frankly discussed a lot of challenges to prayer that we have. And a lot of times, you know, we put these challenges out there and say, okay, I can never be this or I can never do that, or so I'm just not even going to try. But you have to be open. You have to be moving forward all the time. And this is such a great opportunity to learn new things and to not take a bunch of things for granted and recognize, you know, again, just how much God loves us and just how important prayer can be then in responding. And because it does change your life. I mean, you know, people have a hard time accepting that, I think, but if you're open to it, if you put the time and the effort in, because you got to practice, you can't build a relationship without putting time into it, but it really can change your life. And so I strongly encourage folks to make the time to get their priorities straight. And participate in a program like this, or, you know, in this program or one like it.
Yeah. How about you, Sheila? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that I think the goal is always to do His will. And I think this program, this way of praying, this intentional way of listening for God's voice or that movement of grace in our heart is going to help tremendously. And I highly encourage people to sign up.
Wonderful. Well, as you've said, you never stop growing. You never stop learning. You never stop. There's never a place where you can't go deeper with the Lord. So I am grateful that you are doing that with the Lord. You're taking him up on his invitation to grow deeper with him through the Missionary Discipleship Series. And I pray that it continues to go well. Sheila Haldmeier and Steve Lentz, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We are changing course just a bit here for our final segment of the show. We're going from missionary discipleship to basketball, but not that they're completely unrelated. Joining me now on the phone, we have Kristen Meyer, who's the women's basketball coach at Dowling Catholic out of West Des Moines, Iowa. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And Aaron Herman, who is the principal and director of Hill Murray High School and the women's head basketball coach. Aaron, welcome to you.
Good morning to both of you.
Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you both on the show. And we're talking a little bit about this Thanksgiving tip-off event that's going on. Kristen, what can you tell me about the Thanksgiving tip-off?
Well, it's a tournament for girls basketball teams, and all of the teams are from Catholic high schools. And we play at the University of St. Thomas. And to be honest, this is our second year coming, and we're really excited. It's a well-run tournament, great competition, and it's really fun to be part of.
Wonderful. And Aaron, you've worked with Ruth quite a bit, and you know her pretty well. Ruth Sin is the basketball coach for University of St. Thomas, and she and the University of St. Thomas play host, as Kristen has just said. Aaron, what can you tell me about the history of specifically the Thanksgiving tip-off?
I believe it's in its third year this year, and Ruth has always been very focused on providing opportunities for young women in Catholic schools, and also Margaret, who works with her to run the tournament. Their focus has been to do something special for the young women in Catholic schools, and also to give these young women an opportunity to give back to the community. One of the things that's been added to the program this year is that all of the teams and students are asked to put together a donation for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
Nice.
And I think that's really an awesome, all of our schools, I'm sure Kristen can attest to this too, we focus on our students recognizing that it's an important part of their life to continue to do service to the community. And so I really like the addition of that. But most of all, I think, In our metro area here, Ruth is considered a person who does a tremendous job supporting all young women that participate in athletics, but specifically in basketball for sure.
Yeah, wonderful. And I'm excited. I do see here it is, as you said, the third annual. And just so our listeners know, it's going to be November 23rd and 24th, 2018, so the days following Thanksgiving. So coming up very quick, but Aaron, I assume, or I see here that yes, people are very much invited and encouraged to come and to observe, yeah, to be a spectator.
We've had great crowds the last couple years, and it is a really fun tournament. I mean, the team from Dowling is outstanding. I got to watch them last year. They are really good. I'll be anxious to see how they've have changed and improved over the course of the year, and I feel like some of these Catholic school teams in our metro area are really outstanding. If you look at Holy Family is ranked number 2 in Class 2A, and we play them. And Holy Angels has an excellent program. De La Salle has an excellent program. Visitation, they're really top programs. And Totino Grace, and I mean, you can go right down the list. They're top programs that are very competitive. So it should be great basketball.
Wonderful. Kristen, if Dowling is so impressive, how have you seen this participation last year in this event? What kind of an effect did it have on your young women who are on your team?
Well, since we get to play so early in the season, I think it brought us a lot of confidence. As Aaron said, there's some great competition. And so it was really fun for us last year to take a weekend and, you know, you go up on a bus and you spend the night in the hotel and just some team bonding, which is really important for us. And then to get to play some teams from out of state, some really good competition that, you know, we wouldn't otherwise see throughout the season. really gave our team a confidence boost. And, you know, it was one of those things that we don't get to play a lot of Catholic schools. We don't have a ton of them in Iowa. And so it was really fun to have some conversations about that and the importance of showcasing the Catholic high schools.
Yeah, very good. Aaron, is this exclusively Catholic schools that participate in this tournament?
I think the first year, maybe there might have been a couple teams in the tournament when they were just getting it started that were not Catholic schools. But I believe that this year they are. Last year they were, and I believe that this year it is strictly Catholic school teams.
And Aaron, as Kristen just said, there may not be that opportunity to play other Catholic schools very often in some of the especially the outlying areas that they're in their regular schedule.
No, I think that's absolutely true. We don't, you know, you play most of your games in a conference, and in our conference, we don't have another religious school of any type in our conference. So we have to go and seek them out. And fortunately, we're able to do that in some cases, but schedules are tough. This is an opportunity for us all to be together. And, as much as we compete, and we're very competitive with each other, I do believe that we still view ourselves as sister schools, and we have a camaraderie that we might not have with our public schools.
Yeah, very good. Kristen, just what are you expecting, or what are you hoping for, I should say, for your young women out of this year's trip?
Well, I think the number one thing is just a fun trip, chance to spend some time together and do some team bonding. And then, you know, it's early in the season, so on the court-wise, we've got new faces. We graduated a number of seniors last year that contributed big minutes for us, so I think it'll be a great experience for some of our younger players to get some time on the court and, you know, go against very high-level competition. So we're looking forward to it. We have a lot of parents coming up, so it's kind of a fun family weekend for all of our team members.
That's good. So kind of an early on time for the team to bond and for parents and other family and friends to come together and really support the effort.
Exactly.
Yeah. Aaron, so there are both varsity and JV games going on. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where is this all taking place?
Schoenecker Arena and, well, the Anderson Complex on the St. Thomas campus. The varsity games are played in Schoenecker Arena, and the JV games are played in the upstairs gym there in the Anderson Complex, right in the same building.
Right, and there's already a published schedule of the tournament team matchups, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and where can people find that?
Oh boy, that's a good question. There's a website specifically set up for, it's called TwinCitiesThanksgivingTipOff.com.
Yeah, it's all one word, basically.
Right, all one word.
Yes.
Twin Cities, plural, TwinCitiesThanksgivingTipOff.com. No punctuation in there. And the schedule is there, and directions are there, and admissions, and everything you need to know about the tournament are there on that website.
Well, it sounds really exciting. So, and the tournament admission is, I think, very reasonable. One day, adults are $6, or you get a whole weekend pass for $10. Seniors, $3 or $5 for the weekend. Children 6 to 12, $3 or $5 for the weekend. And children 5 and under are free. Wow. And you said, I see on here, too, that you had 5,000 spectators over the course of the weekend in years past. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes. The attendance is very good. Attendance has been very good, and, you know, because it's basically on some vacation time, people aren't working, and parents are able to get to the games because they don't have to leave work to do so. So it's been very well attended, and we're hoping for really good crowds this year as well.
Very good. Kristen, are your young women excited about coming up?
Yeah, they've been talking about it this whole fall. We found out we were going up again this summer, so they've been pretty excited and looking forward to it, and already talking about the bus trip and who we're going to play, and, you know, all the good stuff about it. So we're really excited.
Very good. So Aaron, I need to ask, are there any plans for the future and how to continue to, I mean, you're hoping that this expands, that it improves over the course of time?
To me, it sounds like that's what the plan is, that we're going to continue to find ways to like this year, we added the donation piece, the service piece, and I think we will continue to talk about what are some other things that will be value added that we can do with the teams when they're here, and just ways to improve the experience for all of the participants and the spectators as well.
Okay, and I'll have another question, a follow-up question for you about that, Aaron. If there are thoughts about expanding this tournament, and some listeners are listening in right now, and they have a sense that, oh, I know a Catholic women's basketball, high school basketball team that might be a good candidate. How do you choose how are the teams chosen, and is there in coming years, is there thoughts about maybe inviting even more?
I know a little bit about that, not a lot about that. There is a committee that runs the tournament, and Margaret Slawin is the chairperson of that, and Coach Sin also sits on that committee, and I think they send out invitations, and I think the conversations go both ways. I think there have been schools that have inquired, I'd like to bring my team to the tournament, and then some schools move in and out, but it's right now it's two really full days of basketball. I think adding more teams would probably have to expand the tournament even, but I believe that the committee would be interested in doing that if teams were interested in playing.
Well, my hope is that you're forced to make that decision one way or another, hopefully by the number of young women who turn up to play and who actually find this a very encouraging, competitive, but encouraging time, a good time to get to know their teammates, a good time to play, get some play in, to participate in a tournament, but also the spectators, hopefully that expands again. Again, we're talking Twin Cities Thanksgiving Tip-Off. All the information can be found. The website, again, is TwinCitiesThanksgivingTipOff.com. November 23rd and 24th of this year, so 2 days following Thanksgiving, there at the University of St. Thomas campus. There's admission, but it's really sounds like it's an event that's really worth turning up for. Final question to you, Kristen, is so as you're looking at down the road, are you hopeful that your team will continue to be able to play in this tournament?
Yes, definitely. We had a great time last year when we came, and parents and players were excited to come back again this year. So as long as it works out in our schedule and our school gives us permission, we plan on keep coming back each year.
That's fantastic. And Aaron, for you, is Hill Mary playing in this year's tournament?
Yes, we are.
Oh, fantastic. So yep. Not only are you the spokesperson for the Twin Cities Thanksgiving Tip-Off, but you also have a vested interest in
it. Yes, we do. Absolutely. Yep.
Well,
yep.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm very grateful that you've taken the time to join us here on the Rediscover Hour, and all the best to you. Thank you for the work that you do in coaching these young women and bringing them up in basketball and in their faith as well. All the best in terms of the tournament as well. Thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty exciting. Wonderful thing to do over the Thanksgiving weekend. We've got other things to do here coming up in and around the Archdiocese, so stay with us.
Hi, Tara from Catholic United Financial talking Medicare. Did you know that when you turn 65, you can enroll in Medicare to cover ongoing healthcare expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost? The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. I lead a team that can help you with Medicare Supplement Health Insurance, as well as Part D dental and vision coverage. Call me for a quick comparison quote at 651-765-6555. You can see how much you can save. Catholic United has competitive pricing, easy enrollment, and hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call me, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Paul Sadek,
Yes, sir.
Are you a basketball player yourself?
No.
A spectator, maybe?
I'm a great spectator.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. What do we got going on, Paul?
Well, among other things, Encounter Christ in the Mass with a 4-week Bible study with Father John Eckert starting Wednesdays, November 28th through December 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, South St. Paul. Topics include theology of the Mass, organic development and form of the Mass, and the liturgical calendar. Participants can expect that this study will enhance their knowledge of and appreciation for the greatest reality on earth. Cost $20, includes lecture materials, large group Q&A, and a snack. Register online. Visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
All right, here's that Catholic Watchman rally. Men, you are invited to the rally on Thursday, November 29th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Nicholas in Elko Newmarket. Evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confessions, dinner, and a presentation by Archbishop Hebda. A free will offering of $10 is suggested but not required. Please register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Begin your Advent season with tidings of comfort and joy, Advent Day of Reflection, Saturday, December 1st, 8 to 4. Hear from Father Byron Hagen and Elizabeth Kelly as they speak on the meaning and importance of the Incarnation. The day includes Mass, Confession, Eucharistic Adoration, light breakfast and lunch. All are welcome. Space is limited. Register early. To find out more and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Women are invited to the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women Advent Retreat on Saturday, December 8th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Holy Name of Jesus in Medina. The day begins with prayer and continental breakfast. Speakers for the day are Father Michael Daly and Daniel Cantor. The morning will conclude with noon Mass celebrated by Archbishop Bernard Hebda. It's also a chance to do some Christmas shopping as a number of vendors will be available that day. To register online, visit archspm.org/ACCW2018Advent. And for more information, call 651-291-4545 or email alliec@archspm.org.
Men learn the basics of the Bible in one day at the Catholic Watchman Men's Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Cavins, Saturday, December 15th, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at St. Maximilian Kolbe Church in Delano. Discover the heroic men of the Bible, find out how to make Scripture a part of your daily life, and learn how to lead your family in reading the Bible along with you. Registration is $40. That includes workbook, donuts, and a hearty lunch. The event is free for sons age 18 and under. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or call Men's Evangelization Manager, email him actually, Enzo Randazzo, randazzov@archspm.org.
Let me just encourage everyone, after we read through the calendar events there, just go to rediscover-faith.org and bookmark that.
You'll find tons of things.
Oh my gosh, there's so much to find there, including you can find archives of this show. So you can find that there. Click on Rediscover Hour and you'll see it there. So, speaking of which, what do we got coming up next time? I'm glad you asked.
Next I asked. That's your job to tell us.
Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be speaking with Jen Messing, who is the founder of a ministry called Into the Deep that really focuses on the theology of the body. Also, Net Ministries founder and president Mark Burcham and missionary staff James Farino are going to be with us to talk about Net Ministries. And then finally, Elizabeth Kelly is going to be with us to talk about that Advent Day of Retreat with Father Byron Hagen we've got coming up as well. So it's going to be a full and great show. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.